Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Albert Miller chose for his sermon topic, The Serpent Judge, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 3. The radio broadcast this morning is sponsored in memory of John and Charlene Hink's wedding anniversary. They were married June 11, 1955, at Emmanuel by Reverend Richard Devonthal. Thank you to the family of John and Charlene for honoring their memory by sharing.
Good morning. It's great to be with all of you here this morning, and a special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us, including all of those connected with the Hemi clan. So it's always good to be with you, and to all the rest of the guests and visitors we have with us as well. It's always good to gather around God's Word together to receive His many blessings that He has in store for us. For the Lord meets us here, and He promises this morning to bless us, to strengthen and equip us, and to forgive us with His Word. In light of His many blessings, let us sing our first hymn together, number 655. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon Him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. And by the prince of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whatever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Well, good morning. There are so many of you today. How are you all doing? Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. So I have a question. I always start off with a question. So how many of you have ever done something wrong? Can you raise your hand if you've done something wrong? I'm not going to ask you what it was, but if you would just raise your hand. Have you done something wrong? Maybe you've hurt somebody. maybe you didn't listen to your parents, right? Yeah, I think everyone's hands are up, right? Well, let me ask. I'm going to ask the congregation now. If you've ever done something wrong, can you raise up your hands and raise them high so the kids can all see it, right? Yeah, I think that's everybody, right? That's a lot of bad things, right? But to imagine, God must be so patient that he still loves this gathering of people. But where did all of these bad things come from? Does anybody know? Do you have an idea? Okay, yeah. A little bit. Any other ideas? I'll give you a hint. The devil? Yeah, okay, sure. Let's So do we remember the first reading we read today from Genesis chapter 3? With Adam and Eve. Who were Adam and Eve? So Adam and Eve, they were the first people that God created. He put them in a garden and he gave them one command. He said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, what did they do? They ate it, right? And so that's when they sinned. And sin, it has now entered into our human bodies from Adam and Eve. So sin, meaning just all those bad things we do, that has now come down to us. And so just like Adam and Eve now, they sin, well, they did sin a lot all their life long. Now we, as their children, we sin also. We just can't help but doing all of these bad things. Now, what did God do to correct that or to solve this problem of sin that we have? Yeah? Yes, exactly. Wonderful. He sent Jesus, right? In Genesis 3, he gave Adam and Eve a promise of the Savior, that he would send Jesus and that he would crush the devil, that he would crush sin once and for all, that he would even crush the sin in us. On that last day, Jesus is going to come again and he's going to raise us to live with him in heaven, and he's going to make us perfect. Aren't you looking forward to that day when we will be perfect? When there will be no more temptation, when we won't do anything wrong again. We look forward to that day all because of what Jesus has done, dying on the cross for us. Well, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful gifts. We thank you for loving us and for not leaving us in all the wrongs that we have done and in our sin. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. We ask that you would continue to be with us and to love us and carry us on to paradise. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can return to your seats. And I always give the kids a piece of candy on their way back if you want to grab one. And the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn.
Yeah.
It's the classic Sunday school story. God creates the world. He creates Adam and Eve and then puts them in the garden. But when they're tempted by the serpent, of course, they eat of that forbidden tree and fall into sin. Again, it's a familiar story. In fact, just on the top of my head, I believe I've preached on this text on two occasions before. And that's because this is just so foundational for what happens in these first three chapters of Genesis. It lays the groundwork for the rest of the entire Bible. But as we look at the story again, today I want to look at it from a different angle. Because usually when we look at it, it seems like we just jump straight to looking at Adam and Eve. But for this morning, I want to actually take a look at and see what this passage has to say about Satan. That is, about your adversary, the devil, the scripture calls him elsewhere. That ancient foe, the deceiver of man, the prince of darkness, and the accuser of the brethren. All of these titles which the Bible lays upon him. In one sense, the Bible seems to have a lot to say about this enemy who's constantly seeking our soul's destruction. And yet, thankfully, dear friends, at the very start, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, we already are assured of his overthrow. And we see that his destruction is near. When the Lord came to deal with the serpent, notice how he doesn't once question him as to his actions. To Adam, God asks him two questions. One, where are you? Followed up with, have you eaten of the tree I commanded you not to eat? And then to Eve, likewise, he asks another question. What is this that you have done? But to the serpent, dear friends, notice how the Lord just immediately jumps to judgment. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this. There's no questioning him like he did for Adam and Eve. God just jumps right into it, announcing curses upon him. And I love the explanation for why that might be. As I've heard others say, it's because the Lord had no design of showing mercy to the devil. God interrogates Adam and Eve, but for them, that is because that is a sign that God wanted to extend mercy to them. For when God chides and convicts man's conscience, it's because he desires for our repentance. It's because he is longing to have mercy upon us. Whenever guilt seizes the soul, let that be a reminder, dear friends, that that is how the Lord calls people to come and return to him. Your conscience bears witness to the fact that the Lord is extending his healing hand of grace to you. It's an invitation for us to come and reason together, says the Lord. For if God has meant to destroy you, then he wouldn't seek to convict you. Rather, like he's done to others, he would have hardened you and your conscience. And you would feel no prompting to return. It's like those who wonder if they've committed the unpardonable sin which Jesus speaks about in our gospel reading, about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12, Jesus says, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven a person, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And people sometimes hear that and they wonder, oh no, have I done that? Am I guilty? Can I still be forgiven? And terrified then, they seek after comfort. Well, again, dear friends, if your conscience still convicts you, and if the word of God is still cutting at you, that is the Lord's doing. Convicting you of sin is the work of the Spirit striving in your heart to repent. And feeling guilty and feeling convicted means that the Lord still has a plan for you. Therefore, we can even rejoice in a troubled conscience, knowing that God still offers you hope to again and forever experience the unfailing love and mercy of God. The very rebukes of God are evidences of his love towards you. But for the serpent, again, we see there is no chiding. There is no call for repentance, nor any invitation for him to come clean and confess, if you will. But rather, having already known what happened from the beginning, the judge of all things found the serpent guilty and immediately moves to condemn him. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, God says, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. And yet to the serpent he says, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. That is our adversary, dear friends. Despite what the media tells us, our enemy isn't in Washington. Your enemy doesn't live down the street from you. Your enemy isn't sitting in the pew in front or behind you. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, Paul says, but against the rulers, the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of this dark world. That is our enemy. Which means that we're never supposed to be against people in the sense that we are to disavow them as individuals. But as creatures made in the image of God, we are always called to be for other people. That is, all the way to our and their dying breaths, we are to always strive for the person's souls and well-being. You read through chapter 3 of Genesis, and you'll notice that God never placed the curse upon Adam and Eve. He cursed the serpent, he cursed the ground and creation, and he increased the pain of childbirth, but he never cursed them. In fact, later on, even when God sends out Cain for murdering his brother Abel, God says, cursed are you from the ground. As if to say, the ground has cursed you. You'll be a wanderer. The crops won't grow for you. But even then, God goes on to put a mark of protection upon Cain. The ground might curse him, but even still, God appears to have still been for him. And that should lead us to consider for ourselves how no man is to be considered our enemies. No matter how firmly they stand for wickedness, we must strive for them and for their salvation. And while we should indeed ought to speak out against sinful words, against sinful actions and beliefs, again, we're not supposed to be against them, though. Those who call good evil and evil good are still creatures made in the image of God, and we are to love them. We're always to be for other people and for everyone's eternal good. And nothing they say or nothing they do ought to ever lead us to be against them as persons. never allowing ourselves to tell someone, you know, like, go to hell, for example. Nor ever even thinking about that sentiment. Again, our true enemy is seen here in Genesis 3, the serpent, the devil. It's he who blinds the world in ignorance and darkness. It's he who prowls around seeking our destruction. And while he is cunning and conniving, he is defeated. Cursed, God says, above all livestock. You remember elsewhere in the Gospels a time when Jesus cursed the fig tree. And how when the disciples saw it the next day, they exclaimed that it had shriveled up. And that's because the curses of God, like all of his words, are living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word isn't empty. It doesn't come back to him void, but it accomplishes the very thing that it says. And so when our God cursed our adversary, like that fig tree, he is now withering away. In one sense, he still appears strong. For with cunning tricks, he can entangle the wise Solomon. He's still strong enough to conquer Samson. He is still sly enough to cause even David to fall into sinful, to shameful sin. Our enemy is able to cause even the greatest of saints to stumble, even those who are best described as men and women after God's own heart. They still feel the assaults of the wicked one. For like a serpent, our enemy, he is able to slither himself into all the small places. Without a noise, he can wind himself up in hidden places and pounce upon our unsuspecting souls. And just like he once entered into paradise, so can he enter into any and all of our most sacred places. Truly, he comes slithering even to here at church. He comes slithering into our prayer closets, into our family gatherings, into our homes and hearts. It seems almost impossible to keep away from him. And yet, beloved, the enemy is defeated and his destruction is near. And though he causes much harm, today it's as if he goes around crawling on his belly, eating dust all the days of his life. I love last of all that last line of God's curse which he placed upon the serpent. Speaking about the seed of the woman, yes, you shall bruise his heel, but he shall crush your head. Dear friends, did you know that the most that Satan can do to you is what the text likens to a bruising of the heel? Meaning that there's a limit to Satan's reign. The Lord God has set boundaries upon him, saying, this far you shall go and no farther. Satan's reign can never do more than this, than to strike at your heel. That's why Paul says in our epistle reading, talking in verse 17, about this slight momentary affliction. Satan can do his worst. He can send Christians to prison. He can raise up the world to persecute the church. He can assail us in a multitude of ways. We, in fact, remember Paul's list of afflictions. Stoned, whipped, and beaten without number, he says. Shipwrecked and imprisoned. Constantly living in danger of both Jew and Greek. But even in the midst of all this, Paul yet calls all of these things a slight momentary affliction. Even the greatest of sufferings, he seems to say, is but a small and light thing. is but a biting of Satan at your heel. Sure, it stings, and for a moment it can cause stumbling pain. But we can rejoice, dear friends, for your covenant head is untouched. Christ Jesus, the head of his body, the church, he is in heaven sitting upon his throne. He is untouched in the heavenlies, and where he is, there we will be one day also. For the head, it cannot live without the body. The Lord Jesus is rather coming again to bring us to himself, promising to set us upon thrones as we shall truly be one with him. We in him and he in us, Jesus prayed. Though the Christian life may be wrought with all manner of trials and tribulations, though we can be tempted and tried and put through the fire of affliction, suffering all manner of pain and loss, Satan can only destroy the body. But after that, there is nothing left for him to destroy. He rises no farther than slithering on his belly. He strikes no higher than to bite you at your heel. And the suffering of our heels, it must be light, and light of the eternal weight of glory soon to be revealed. Do whatever he may, but for the saint who's one with Christ, Satan is but a heel nibbler. The Lord shall come for his chosen again and bestow upon his people blessing and honor and glory. The weight of eternal glory is the reward for God's people. For Jesus has won that victory for us, and he wears the crown. He has proven himself true, righteous, and good, having fulfilled the entire law all the days of his life without error. Holy and perfect is he. And that righteousness, dear friends, he shares with you. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet, behold, in Christ we are made perfectly righteous and perfect. For the Lord has clothed us in his righteousness forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, 662. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are full of grace and mercy, and you have compassion upon your people. Though it is undeserved and was unsought, you sent your Spirit to put life within us. Lead us to praise your holy name for your steadfast love and mercy. As you dealt with Adam and Eve, deal also with us. Send your Spirit into our hearts and minds and convict us of all sin. Remind us always that our guilt and our conscience is a calling and a prompting to return to you. Lead us to come always before you and grant us forgiveness, peace, and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And holy God, you have created man in your own image, and you have put a special dignity upon him. Lead us to honor and respect this image. Lead us to love all people and to not to view each other as enemies, with those who disagree with us, with those who call evil things good and good things evil. Lead us to contend with them. Lead us to pity them and to strive for their repentance and eternal well-being. Give us the patience to not give up and not to judge people as if being unworthy of grace or unworthy of your forgiveness and life. May we be conformed rather every day into the image of your Son to extend that free offer of the gospel to all people and use us to this end. Lord, let your light shine out from among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, as the devil has fought against you and your kingdom, lead us to stand firmly with you and with your word. Give us the heart to forsake all of the devil's ways, and lead us further to every day drown that old Adam within us, and to rise again to new life in your Son. Give us strength to put to death all sin and strongholds of darkness that are within us. And lead us, Lord, to cherish your presence. In the midst of trials and tribulations, let the light of your love and word expel the gloom and darkness. In the midst of sorrows, give us hope that all pain is fleeting. And remind us that you are coming again to wipe every tear from our eyes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And God of love and God of unity, we thank you for your gifts of family and friendships. We thank you for surrounding all of us with a community of people to help and support us. And as we walk in the wilderness of this life, give us fellow travelers to journey with, strengthening and encouraging each other to walk in the straight and narrow. And this morning, we especially thank you for that union that you have made between Roy and Dolores as they celebrated their 67th wedding anniversary yesterday. We thank you for blessing both of them with that companionship. We ask that you would continue to give them strength to help and support each other. And lead all spouses and all friends everywhere, Lord, to love each other as you have loved us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
And lastly, great physician, we lift before you all who are on our hearts and minds. Lord, you know our grievances. You know the situations completely, and nothing catches you off guard. We trust and humbly ask that you would be working in our midst, in the midst of our loved ones. Bring life, healing, peace, and comfort to those struggling. And give hope to all of these as we wait for the eternal weight of glory to be revealed. Give all of those struggling spiritual eyes to see that all pain is temporary, soon past. And according to your will, strengthen these to live long lives for your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 461.